up, bud?
Hi, is this Bill?
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing very well. How are you doing today, sir?
Good. I must have been hitting wrong numbers or I had things different. And then we had a – I didn't call. I was a little – I was on time to call you, and then the label called me and sent me over our – today's the day we went to radio, and we were at number one and number two.
Oh, my God. Radio. That's got to be a great feeling, right?
That's pretty insane, actually, dude. I'm like the only one that beat us. We were number one in the secondary charts and number two in the mainstream Billboard rock charts, and the only one that beat us was Alter Bridge, which, if you're going to lose, I guess it's a good one to lose to. But I mean, the bands behind us were like Motionless and White, Nashville, Alexandria, and Deftones, and all these bands. It was like, I was like, holy fuck, man. And then I'm calling you, and then I think I put a wrong number, then I called him back. And I'm like, dude, I don't want this dude to think I flaked on him. He's like, no, I just called him. I'm like, all right. Cool.
Yeah, but don't you think that the reason why you're up on top is because the song lyrics themselves really help, you know, just bring in that music as well? Because you guys are writing about everyday events inside these songs.
Totally. That's exactly what it is. I mean, you know, early on when we were a little bit younger, it was all about, you know, let's write, you know, rock and roll Motley Crue songs and Van Halen and, you know, write about that stuff. And it was stuff that really wasn't at your grasp. And now we're a little bit older and we're writing about everyday things. And it's like people are relating to the everyday things.
Yep. That's like, I mean, and please don't hate me for saying this, but my wife and I really did share a very big laugh with the song Faded. She only writes me when she's drunk. I mean, my God, we laugh so hard.
Dude, it was, when we did it, I'm like, it's kind of cliche, but then everybody's telling us that we're getting a lot of comparison to like Theory of the Dead Man,
right.
You know, Bad Girlfriend and stuff like that. I'm like, you know what? I mean, we played with those in the previous band and, you know, we always liked those bands, but it was like, this was like, we got five. I mean, is the interview starting now or later?
Oh, it's right now. We're happening, even as we speak.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right, cool. So, I mean, basically what it was is if you take all five of us, and we were in a band, I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, a band called Kicking Kate.
Yes.
K with the number 8. So that was us. It was me, Johnny, and Chuck, and a different singer and another guitar player. And we made a nice splash. I mean, we played with all the, you name it, we were on all the Jaeger tours, Stain to Stone It, In This Moment. I mean, we were all in that, and how that band started was MySpace. I mean, between us In This Moment and Hollywood Undead, we were the biggest unsigned bands in MySpace, and they got back signed, and then we finally got signed. We had a nice splash, and then we kind of, you know, had the hiatus, and everybody kind of took a break, and eventually it dissolved, and then we're like, the three of us were like, let's do something else. And Darren was in a heavy band. They were called One Theory. And he's very Cookie Monster, screamo, metal, heavy. But when he went into the chorus parts of his songs, it was very melodic. And we all were like, man, shit, if we ever had a chance to play with him, let's grab this guy. And then Trevor's a country bumpkin. Trevor and Darren, actually. I mean, these guys live in the sticks and the mountains. And that's kind of what they are. And it was like, we have this five different guys that are, if you ask everybody what their influences, it goes from Leonard Skinner to Metallica to Zeppelin to Motley Crue, everything in between. But it's like when you each put your own spin in it, because originally Johnny and Trevor and Chuck were all together. I wasn't in the project at the time. And they dabbled and never really went anywhere. And then they asked me, you know, what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to do it, but, you know, I want to get Darren if you're going to do it. And they got Darren, and I'm like, well, I'm in. And then over the course of the last year, everybody's got studios at their houses, so they do Pro Tools, and we set tracks, and everybody got the tracks, and then we all convened, because they're all in San Diego, I'm in Austin. And we all just learned songs, I flew out there, and we rehearsed for the weekend, and it was like second nature. And the songs took a whole different meaning, because I played heavier than we originally tracked it, and Darren obviously brought more of an angst but melodic side to it, and it was like the craziest blend that shouldn't work.
But isn't that what Southern California rock has been always about? It's always been about, you know, the individualism of musicians that happen to come together in a moment of music history.
You know what, dude, it probably is. I can't even explain the stupidity of this. It's the craziest thing to me. I mean, I'm looking at this chart right now as we speak, and I was like, I've been playing music all my life, and we never charted like that as an ad. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what? I mean, I asked the label. They said it's the biggest debut they've ever had of a new band, and he's been doing this 30 years.
Wow. And just,
I mean, he's got Paul LaMud, he's got Candlebox, he's got Soil, he's got his own band called The Alps. Do you know Mark pretty well?
Well, he's got to be sitting there looking at this going, oh, my God, oh, my God. Well, see, because, you know, just like a month ago, Rolling Stone magazine said that rock music was going to make a big comeback. Are you not living that right now?
Dude, I think so, but it's just, it's crazy to me because here's how this went down. We learned the songs. I flew to California. We rehearsed a couple times. I can tell you right now, I've been in a room with these guys as a whole band less than a dozen times. And in that time, we played our first show was sold out in San Diego.
Wow.
So this is like, this was, listen, guys, we're not going to get in a van like we were with kids or a bus and tour the world. Build it that way. We said, listen, everybody's got their own businesses or their own life going on right now, but we all want to do this. So let's do it and then put it out and see what happens. Now, we just had a conference call before I got on with you. As I said, all right, guys, because they didn't know. They sent me, I get all the information first with the band, and then I share with the management. So everybody's on the phone. I said, all right, you guys sitting down, and you want the good news or the bad news? Like the bad news. I said, all right, we're number two. They said, what's the good news? I said, you're number one, too. And they're like, what the fuck? I'm like, so now, it's one of those things like, be careful what you wish for, because now we're all sitting there going, okay, guys, I guess everybody's putting their jobs on hold, and we can't do anything right now because of the touring. Obviously, it's not happened, but you know, there was talk about us going out with Puddle of Mud, going out with the Outfit, or Mark's Band, The Outfit, or even Candlebox stuff. I mean, when you're on a label like this that has a bunch of diverse artists, you can kind of pick and choose. And we're really, what's funny is like what you said, we're not metal, even though we all are. I mean, in our hearts, I mean, Seven Dust,
right.
Love those guys. Well, I grew up with Disturbed in Chicago. How long have you been doing this music thing with you?
I've been radio for 41 years.
Okay, great. Let me throw you a blast from the past. Remember Diamond Rex?
Of course I do. Oh, my God.
I was in Diamond Rex. I did four of the last five Diamond Rex records.
Jesus.
Now, they're back together with all the original guys, but between me and you off the record, it's still kind of dated. They're still kind of stuck in their ways. I was in the second incarnation after debuting. I did all the rest of the records. But they're great friends of mine, but it's just I wanted to do something more today and update, and they're kind of still doing their thing, which is cool. And I'm sure you probably interviewed them because they do probably the same press junkets that we do with the label. But great guys, but just different. They wanted to get back to original guys, and I wanted to do more something of today. But I mean, I started with Diamond Rex back in the day. I mean, I've known Mark from Pavement for 30 years.
Well, I got to tell you what's really interesting, because you did say that it was metal music. And then when I went in there and I started really digging into this, I'm going, wait a second. There's a lot of roots inside this music. For instance, like Just a Man. I mean, I love the opening. It's very dramatic. I mean, I can literally see the girls in the front row sitting there just going for this song.
Yep. And it was very Alice in Chainsy when I decided to drum. I don't know if it was Wood or whatever the song started with Alice in Chains, but I really wanted to make it like that. But it was either Faded or that song for the first single, and everybody chose Faded. Just a Man will probably be the second single.
Right. Yeah, because it totally deserves it. New rock needs something right now, and it's not Imagine Dragons.
Yep. It's totally right. You nailed it on the head. And you know what? It's so weird because it's like I want to pinch myself. I think I'm almost living in a cloud right now, because every single person we've talked to is saying the same thing. One, Boston Radio said, you know, this is something that needs to be out there to the masses, not this cookie cutter shit that everybody's listening to. I mean, and then it's just weird. It's like everything's been good. I'm just waiting for somebody to say, you suck. And you know what? I'm probably going to be happy about it and say, thank God. I know it's real and somebody has an opinion, but right now everything's been positive.
Yeah, but don't you think that one of the reasons why people are attracted to you guys right now is because you have a lot of guitars in there, which we're not used to listening to during these days, and you give us the opportunity to get ready for the lyrics. It's not like, boom, you hit it right there, and you're in that song hook by 15 seconds in.
Totally. Both these guys are great guitar players, and they both want to shine and do leads, and we believe in having the leads in the song and being old school, but at the same time, we really wanted to take Darren and strip him back. I guess the best way to describe it is we're kind of like what Disturbed just did with David.
Yeah.
David's been screaming 10,000 Fish Stupefied. Now what? They do the remake of If You Lose My Faith in You. That just came out. They did obviously the Sound of Silence. And David's voice, everybody realized that he can actually be a singer. And I think Darren's biggest thing is everybody in San Diego knows Darren is an aggressive, early Phil Anselmo, in-your-face, aggressive, great screamer. But when they hear him sing,
yep,
they're absolutely floored because they're like, this guy that looks so hardcore is really a big teddy bear that actually has a voice. You know?
So true. So true. I judge the book by its cover. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yep. Totally. Totally.
But you know what's really interesting here? We've always heard about, you know, the Sunset Strip bands and stuff like that. I mean, sir, when was the last time that we heard a band from San Diego?
P.O.D.
But it's like everybody just seems to always want to levitate to Sunset Strip. I'm glad that you guys are very rooted in San Diego, and you're proud to say, God dang it, we're from San Diego.
Totally. Because you know what? San Diego, and again, I was in California 20 years, and then, you know, my wife's from Texas, and she wanted to move here. So I'm like, you know, during a hiatus, and I'm like, you know, Austin, it's supposed to be the music capital of the world, and it would be a good change for me. So it was cool. But I mean, San Diego is definitely surf rock, and you know, nobody's really not known for that. I mean, rap actually came out of San Diego and then moved up to L.A. But San Diego is really surf rock, very stoner rock, very different. And really, the only thing that's come out of San Diego is P.O.D., and there hasn't been really any rock since that, I don't think.
Right. Well, it's because everybody wants to have the glory of L.A., and it's like, no, no, man, there's so much more.
L.A. is a shithole. I mean, everybody will tell you. I lived in L.A. Like I said, I was in L.A. for probably 10 years, San Diego 10 years. I mean, we don't want to call L.A. a shithole on the record, just so you know. But, I mean, I love L.A., but, I mean, it's not what it's cracked up to be. I mean, Motley Crue will tell you best. I mean, I lived at almost Hollywood and Vine. It was right underneath the Hollywood sign.
Wow.
And Hollywood and Vine is a cesspool of trash.
Yes, it is.
There's
I've been there.
Glam there. You know, you're going to go to Beverly Hills. You want to walk along Calabasas by Tommy Lee's house or Bret Michaels, or you get out that way, or the Kardashian whores or whatever they're called. You know, that's nice, but L.A. as a whole, the traffic sucks, the smog, the people, they're shallow. San Diego's a little bit more upscale, and it really doesn't churn out the rock like you would think, but there's a lot of killer bands that are in San Diego that never get the chance to do anything.
Right.
You know, and that goes for any city. There's tons of this business is not so much how talented you are, and that's what sucks, is you could be the greatest band in the world, and if you don't have a team behind you, nobody's going to hear you.
Right.
And, you know, and I can tell myself, I mean, I've never been, well, nor will I ever be the best drummer in the world. I never wanted that. I liked, you know, I love the showmanship of the Tommy Lee and the Morgan Rose from Seven Dust and Ray Lugier from Korn, which is, he's probably one of the greatest drummers. But none of us is individually ever said, you know, we're going to be the best singers. I mean, our guitar players, they're great, but they're never going to be the best. Our bass player is great. Johnny's never going to be the best. Darren's a great singer. But we never set out to do that. We set out to do what our strengths are. And it's just a weird combination. It's like the lottery. When you get, you know, four or five guys that are on the same sheet of music, then you won the lottery. But individually, because we stopped after Kicking Kid, everybody did other projects and nobody did anything. Yeah. Nobody did anything of any substance. And it's like when you put the crew and the band back together and you have all the missing pieces that fit and you have a team and the relationships that you've built up over the years, that's what did this. It's not that we're great musicians or we're, you know, the song faded. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with that? It's just we the song was good. The musicians are good. Our team behind us is good. And we put it out there and thank God people liked it, and that's why it worked. But individually, we were nothing. We're obviously better together as a team.
Yeah, but isn't that because we all grow up wanting to be that great garage band, and then all of a sudden things begin to churn, and it's like, I mean, it's those moments where you're playing, even in a smoky bar, and you look at each other and you go, shit, that was good.
Yep, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And here's the problem that we don't, and I've seen it, and not that I want to mention any bands, but I mean, there's some bands that, well, I'm going to mention it. Look at Theory of the Dead Man. Listen to their earlier stuff.
Yeah.
And great band. I've got nothing to say good of them, but listen to their earlier stuff and then look at where they are now. Very commercialized. Look at Shinedown. Listen to their earlier stuff and then look where they are now. Look at, I don't want to say Disturbed because they're still kind of raw, but look at some of these bands that started early. Even Goo Goo Dolls. Listen to their early Goo Goo Dolls and look at where they are now. They're turned into
Imagine Dragons. Johnny Resnick, yep.
But those guys used to be killer. I mean, when they first came out, and what happens is when you come out, you're starving. Then you write a song, you get a little bit of success. with success comes a little bit of money. When you get a little bit of money, you can afford more things. When you afford more things, you get bigger management. Management makes their money from the bands.
Yep.
So what do you think the managers need to do? Write another Shinedown commercial hit. Everybody gets away from their angst and where they were early on. They've had a taste of a little bit of lobster. The managers get involved and tell you to write hit songs, and you lose your identity. You all of a sudden turn top 40.
That's right.
And I'm not saying I want to do that, because, I mean, I was talking to Chuck earlier, and he's like, dude, I hope this is good. I'm sick of being a welder, you know, part-time. I'm sick of doing this. But I'm sitting there going, dude, don't turn into that. We don't want to be churning out these top 40 hits but still claiming you're rock. You know what I mean?
You got to tell me about this album cover, because it's very unique. It needs to be on a poster, and I've got to understand what that symbol is all about. Is it upside-down letters? What's going on here?
It is.
Oh,
you got the
my
H
God.
And then you got the F.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so awesome. I figured it out.
Yeah, that was next to the front. It asked that, but that's Darren. I think Darren came up with that. A symbol. We wanted some sort of an icon, because originally the album cover didn't have that symbol. And like the 25th hour, these guys are like, why don't we get a symbol that we can just put a symbol of stuff? And they started making the S's like Queensryche or Motley Crue with the little things, and we kept doing different things. And then they came up with that. And we wanted definitely the sun behind with the fire, and then they just thought we needed some sort of a logo. So you're actually the first guy to notice that, to comment on it.
Wow. We got to talk about that song, Paralyzed. This is a modern-day love song. I'm not going to call it a power ballad from the hair band days, but yep. I want to tell you, this is a modern-day love song.
Yeah, and that was kind of along the lines of like a Green Day. We wanted something a little punky, so the drums are a little bit faster and more punky. But it's funny you say that, because we've heard bluesy, we've heard love song, we've heard punk, we've heard rock. So everybody has a different interpretation so far of every song we've done.
What is that like for you when people try to put a label, but yet it's like, nah, you don't need to put a label on us. We are Sons on Fire.
Well, I was kind of against that, because, you know, growing up, you want to be rock, man. You want to be rock. But you know what? You don't look, I can't, you can't argue with data or numbers, and look at the chart that just came out.
Yep.
And I don't really care what we are or what we are. And we've always had that. I think every band, I mean, Diamond Rex was a Motley Crue Poison ripoff band, and we were pigeonholed that. It was Disturbed meets 3 Days Grace meets Seven Dust. And now Sons on Fire, we've heard, you know, we've heard Leonard Skinner. And I don't like that particularly. It's not mine, but if you tell Darren and Trevor, they'll be like, oh, that's great, man. I want to be Southern Rock. But then you talk to Chuck and me and Johnny, and we're like, we want to be Motley Crue, but a modern day. And then you know, everybody's got a different interpretation. And it's weird, because you can tell when you're writing the song, every time somebody puts their own spin on it, you know, I think there's, I don't know if there's the slide guitar in Faded. I think there is.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, Trevor pulls out the slide, and I'm like, what the hell is he playing country in this rock song? But then when you listen to it back, it all works. So it's like, don't tell me to not play a Motley Crue beat, and don't tell Chuck to not, you know, chunk this riff, or don't tell Johnny to play, you know, a Geddy Lee part on the bass, and don't tell Darren not to, you know, be a Cookie Monster in some spot. You know, it's weird. There's one sort of thing, just a man who's got a good scream in it, and you can tell a little bit, but it's just weird. Everybody puts their own thing in it, but fortunately for us, it all mixes well together.
It really does, and that's one thing that listeners need to understand. You need to go experience this EP, because what you're going to do is that when you go back to song one, you're going to hit play again, and you're going to listen to it all the way through again and again.
Yeah, and you really don't get bored, and maybe you might catch another nuance or another lick that you might not have heard before. I go, oh, I didn't know he sang that there. Or I didn't know there was a little drum fill there. You know, you go back. I'm still listening to him. I mean, I'm listening. I love Just a Man. I think I like that. But I think in terms of pure, I think Paralyzed, the drum take was done in one or two takes.
Oh,
it was
really?
That fast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like that fast. It was that Faded or Just a Man took a little bit more, because there was a lot more intricacies, but that Paralyzed was a straight-ahead power, punky rock, Green Day themed for me anyways, or what I thought I wanted to do. And it was definitely just a one-take Jake type of a deal to get it done, but we wanted to keep that rawness. We didn't want to overproduce it or make it, too much swizzle on it.
So what do you do in a situation where the Ramones, as well as the Sex Pistols, told me, we were not punk rock, we were the blues. Are you the blues? I mean, what? How do you best describe it? Because I know that it goes deeper than that, because I'm feeling something when I listen to it.
There's a real easy answer to that. We're whatever you want us to
be. Shut up.
I do see, like Broken Dreams, I still hear a little bit of blues because when we first started playing it, I like to rush it a little bit or put a little bit more energy into it. And they kept saying, lay back in the pocket, think bluesy. And think bluesy and slow. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I thought when I was recording it, that it was going to be so slow because I felt I was just dragging. It's like I actually, as I was playing, I was thinking of somebody just pulling my neck back, like, slow down, slow down. And then I thought I was playing so slow, but then when you hear it with everything, you're like, I get it now. Yeah. Not everything has to be fast or, double bass everywhere or, licks everywhere. I mean, some of the best drummers in the world, Ringo Starr, Phil Rudd, John Bonham, just straight beats, man. I mean, that's staying in the pocket is the whole key for me. And it's, there's time enough for flash, but these songs are basically straight ahead in the pocket songs.
They are. Where can listeners go and find out more about you guys and really invest in this EP for you guys and show you some love?
SonsOnFire.com is our website. Sons on Fire, I think official. I think it's official. Or Sons on Fire official, I think, is our Instagram. Everything's being updated now due to where we're at. So everybody's in fast mode to reduce. I mean, our stuff is good, but we need to get all our social media a lot better. So we got a team working on that right now. So you see a lot of changes there. And then hopefully just follow payment bands to see what bands potentially could be going out together and seeing it live. I mean, hopefully we could be doing some acoustic shows or some streaming shows at some of the radio stations. But we plan to be out there as soon as we possibly can.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Playroom here in Charlotte is doing live streaming rock, and it really is just bringing it in is what it is, and
really?
Followers all over the world. I'm sorry?
Yeah. We should maybe look at that out there.
Oh, my God. Eddie Z has just invested so much money in making sure that rock music is delivered the way that it needs to be and without having to go acoustic and stuff like that. So his whole entire studio is all about metal. It's about the light show. It's about everything. And what he...
Definitely keep in contact with Chris because when we get out there, we want to definitely hook up with you or potentially go to that club or whatever. So, I mean, we're planting a lot of seeds and everybody that's on the ground floor now will be with us till the day we're done.
That's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. Well, you've got to keep in touch with me and use this platform as a way to get the word out, dude.
Totally. And we'll put all your stuff out there. And when does your interview come out?
Oh, it'll hit the airwaves. You guys are scheduled to go up tomorrow afternoon.
Nice. Send me a link so we can put it up on our social media and everything. And I'll put you in my phone and we'll definitely stay in contact.
All right, dude. You be brilliant tonight, all right?
All right, man. Thanks, mate.